I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, I'm back from New York. I'm in LA and it's pouring rain. Guys, some of you made a comment about my voice and how you didn't recognize me, or maybe thought that I changed my voice in the intro last week. I just had a cold. That's all that happened. I think I'm back to normal now. I would never change my voice on you guys. I would never do that. Okay, this week I'm sitting down with Becca Tobin. You know her from Glee and her podcast, Lady Gang, and we're neighbors. She came down the street, came over, and we got to talk about Britney Spears, and it was a delight. This music video we're talking about this week is Circus, and this is, I think, maybe one of my favorites. I mean, of course, we're all going to say Toxic, right? Let me know, what are your favorite music videos? Call the hotline at 814-277-3277. I don't think I've reached out and asked you guys this. So let me know what you think. You're letting me know some other things on the hotline. The hotline got pretty hot last week. But of course it did. It was, you know, there was a lot to rehash, and I understand that. And I'm here for you guys. Also, what'd you think about the halftime Super Bowl show? Do we think Britney will ever do it? Probably not, right? Probably not. I'm rooting for J-Lo. I'm definitely rooting for J-Lo on this. If it sounds like I've had cocktails, I haven't. I'm just tired. I don't know what's happening to me this evening. So let's just get into it. Here is myself and Becca Tobin talking about Britney Spears' music video, Circus. Hello and welcome to We Need to Talk About Britney, the podcast dedicated to the legendary Britney Spears. I'm your host, Jen Zabrowski, and on today's episode, I'm talking about Britney's 2009 music video, Circus. And to help me do this is an actress and, dare I say, a master podcaster.
That's a pushing it.
You know her work from Glee and the podcast / TV show, Lady Gang. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Becca Tobin.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Becca.
This is so fun.
I'm so excited to have you here.
I've never been more excited about being on another podcast.
No way.
I swear.
Oh my gosh.
Britney's a topic I can never grow tired of.
Well, I, of course, a mutual friend, Tom yep. Link, mm-hmm. introduced us yeah. over Instagram.
Yes.
Has friends now.
Best.
This is how friends meet now.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, I really want Becca to come on the podcast because you're such an amazing podcaster and you run Glee. But then as I started, once you said yes, and then I started doing some research and I was like, oh my God, she is the guest to have on this podcast.
I mean, you're flattering me.
No,
but
well,
I feel like an appropriate guest.
You are very
I do feel appropriate.
Now, I usually start by asking where you're from mm-hmm. and who Britney is to you.
Okay. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Kind of Marietta.
Okay.
A suburb outside of Atlanta. I mean, Brittany, I'm 30, almost 33. Mm-hmm. So she was my, like, Madonna. She was my icon. And it was like, either you were Team Xtina or you were Team Britney for a while.
Yes.
She's the best.
She's the best. And it's so funny because once I started doing this podcast, I started meeting people who were Team Christina. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't have any of those. Like my friends, we were all Britney.
Yes.
So it is interesting to like then meet the Christina heads. But I support them. Like, you know, she's a talent.
She's super talented.
But yeah, Britney all the way.
She's like my I don't think you're allowed to say this anymore. Spirit animal. I think that's not PC anymore.
Yeah, I've started saying spirit person.
Spirit person.
She's my spirit person.
She's my spirit guide. Yeah. She's definitely my inspiration.
For everything. Now, you were and are, well, you started out doing musical theater.
Yes. Yeah. So I grew up singing and dancing. And I like saw my first Broadway show when I was, I don't know, like 9 or something. And
what was it?
She Loves Me.
Mm.
A kind of an obscure musical, but I like looked at my parents and I was like, I have to be on Broadway. They were like, okay, like let's get through second grade or wherever I was. And so from that point on, I was just like, well, I want to do this for a living. I didn't know you could sing and dance for a living. And so I just continued to do that. I went to like a performing arts high school where I got to sing and dance for grades. And then I just sort of continued that on to moving to New York and going to school for it and then being on Broadway.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at AMDA. Yeah, like a 2-year conservatory situation. And then, I started working. But like Britney Spears, like that was her trajectory was like musical theater. Wasn't she in that whole?
She was in a musical. I believe it's called Ruthless. It was called Ruthless with, and she and Natalie Portman shared the role and they would go back and forth between, you know, who had the part that night.
Yeah. It's like the original, like song and dance. I don't know that whole.
There's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was my dream for myself, but I can't sing. And I mean, I took it as far as I even created like a musical comedy duo and my partner has an unbelievable voice, and I did that so I could just like sing next to her.
That's good.
But it was like it allowed me just like to exercise that part of me that just like, or I would say things like, you know what, I'm just gonna become, my goal is to become as famous as I possibly can so then they'll let me be on a Broadway musical.
I mean, that's kind of how it works now. You could at least, you could be in Chicago. I think anybody famous can do Chicago on Broadway.
I used to blast Roxy like so loud. I'm just like singing over it.
Yep.
Yeah. I could. So okay, good. great. Okay, you have faith in me. I'm going to create.
You could still do it. Listen, I think anybody can.
Let's start a petition.
Let's do it.
I call for 100 people to sign this petition and we'll see if I can get there.
All you need is the hunger.
So did you? So you performed in New York.
I did. So I did a couple after school. After I left AMDA, I did a bunch of like regional theater jobs and I did like a production of Cats and I toured with West Side Story and I did like all that fun stuff that only young people have the energy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got like my big break when I think it was 2009.
The year Circus music video came
Brittany
out.
Brittany and I. And I played a stripper in Rock of Ages.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. In New York.
In New York on Broadway.
But because I usually then ask, where were you in 2009 or like whatever Britney moment we're talking about. So you were in New York and you were on Broadway.
Yeah. Pole dancing.
Pole dancing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What a dream.
It was kind of the dream. I mean, my parents were like, she's either going to end up in a strip club or like wildly successful. And I was like, I kind of did the both.
I can do both.
Like I married the two.
Watch me go.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And then how did you end up landing Glee? Is Glee what brought you to Los Angeles?
Yes. So I was doing Rock of Ages for a couple years. And then I left Rock of Ages and I started touring with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Okay, I need
random
more information.
You do. There's never going to be enough, though. So they do this big arena Christmas tours, like dun 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 dun. That like rock and roll version of that song is like what made them famous. But they have an entire show, and it's like lasers and pyro and dancers and like catwalks. I was sort of like Britney Spears in that. Like I was on catwalks, like, and it's like you're like kind of a stripper in that too, like a rock and roll Christmas stripper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my! Now that's a dream.
It
that's
was a dream. It was a dream. You're like whipping your hair and like, you know, kicking your face. So I did that. And then I was sort of ready to throw in the towel. I was sort of at that point, I was 26. I was like, I've been doing this since I was 19, like literally kicking my face and singing and barely making money for it. Like on Broadway, you really don't make that much money. And to be living in New York, it just, there's such an imbalance. So I was like, I need to like do something. I started a yoga certification because I was really into yoga. And so I was halfway through and my agent calls and she's like, hey, there's this role they're looking for in Glee. And it's a bitchy cheerleader. And they're saying she has to sing and dance. It has to be a triple threat. So they're looking in New York, even though they shoot in LA. So I was like, okay, great. I mean, as an actor, like, you know, you go on like 700 auditions and you get like two callbacks. Still no job. So I was like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll go. Like, I have to finish my yoga certification, but like, fine. So I go, I audition, and then I have like a callback and then another callback. And I really hadn't done any TV or film, and nor did I have any aspiration to. Like, it was all theater, and I never really thought of that whole, I don't know, other world. So, and I think that's sort of why I got it, because I didn't really care. I didn't really know much about it. Like Ryan Murphy was sitting in front of me at my test. Like they flew me out to LA for my like,
screen test. I was going to ask both of those questions. And yeah. If Ryan Murphy was in the room.
Yeah. So they flew me out and I still was like, well, this is cool. And then the fact that like you negotiate your contract when you're before your final like screen test, which is also something I never did, because you don't negotiate anything on Broadway. They're like, here's $5. Do you want to do a show 8 times a week? You're like, yes, please. So I go to the screen test. I'm like, this is crazy. And then you're looking at like the numbers and they're like, so if you get this, it's a 7-year commitment. And like, but to me, it was so like far-fetched that I go into my audition. I'm like, okay, I'm sort of nervous. I sort of want it at this point because who wouldn't? But I still didn't really like know to be that nervous.
So you didn't watch Glee?
I didn't.
That like, really, really helped you, I'm
sure. It did help. Yeah. I watched the first episode ever, like the pilot. And I remember being like, this is cheesy. Like I live this every day. You know what I mean? And then I was sitting, like I'm so stupid. Ryan Murphy is sitting 3 feet away from me. He gets really close and he's like sitting in the front row of this like weird black box arena situation and he's staring at me and I thought he was maybe the choreographer. Like I swear I had no idea who he was and he's staring at me and I'm reading the sides and I'm doing the scene with the casting director and Ryan is just like after it finishes he looks at me like his Ryan Murphy like look over and he's like, and you dance too, right? And that's why I thought he was the choreographer. I was like, yeah, that's what that's what I do now. I dance on Broadway. And yeah, I've danced for 1 million years. And I just answered the question like some stupid idiot, like didn't realize he's the most like powerful man in Hollywood. And he's like, okay. And I just walk out the door.
Anything else? Did he ask you like?
No. I mean, he was so close. I can't believe. To this day, I'm so glad it was my first screen test because no one's ever done anything that peculiar. It would have thrown me off to be like, I just was like, oh yes, this is how they do it. They sit really close to you and stare at you. In my mind I'm like, well, you know, cameras are HD now and they get really close.
He wants to see my face. He wants to see all like, of it.
Yeah, I guess this is what they do for TV. They get really close to your face. I was such an idiot. And then I left and I think that was on like a Friday. And I flew back and then on like Monday afternoon, my agent called and she's like, hey, you have a week to get out of your apartment in New York. I had to break the lease and move to LA.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And did you know a lot of people in LA?
No. So.
And then you're just going to start this job. Like you need a car. You need to figure out.
I had to get a car. I had to get an apartment. I've always been on the East Coast and always theater. So none of these theater people were living in LA unless they like transitioned to TV and I didn't really know them. Like, like Leah and I both worked on Broadway around the same time, but we didn't really know each other during that. And then Matt Morrison as well was like a Broadway person and then went on to do Glee, but I never really like met either of them. I'm not a girl.
You were in a Hallmark movie.
Two.
You were in two? Okay, two. But the one I really would love to talk to you about.
I can't wait.
My friends Eric and Jill, by the way, are obsessed with Hallmark movies. Amazing. Especially Hallmark Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. And we wrote, I'm sure drugs were involved, but one night they were here and we had a fire in the fireplace and we sat down and we wrote our own like
Hallmark basic script.
Yeah we just like really worked it out and we could not stop laughing. Like we were like, this is the best work we've ever done. And I think it might have been called I bet I could find it, but it was either called like Mold Wine or like, I don't know.
Well, you couldn't use that because you're not allowed to drink on Hallmark movies.
Okay, sure. It's like all about hot cocoa and tea and all yes. that kind of stuff. But you were in one of the Hallmark movies you were in was called A Song for Christmas.
Yes.
And I tried so hard to find it. Mm-hmm. I can only watch clips, I am going to find more. But this is when I was like, oh my gosh, she has to come on and talk about Britney, because you played, mm-hmm. and correct me if I'm wrong, you play a pop star mm-hmm. who is on tour and mm-hmm. somehow gets stranded and left behind in a small town.
Yep.
You befriend a family who owns a Christmas tree farm.
Yes.
They may lose it.
Yep.
And you you become smitten with their son mm-hmm. who has aspirations of becoming a country singer in Nashville mm-hmm. one day. And the two of you together, not only do you fall in love, but you find yourself, a deeper part of yourself through songwriting together. Yes. And you write a song about Christmas. And that song I was able to watch. And it is.
Oh, good.
And it's just amazing. So you've played a pop star.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much played Britney. I had really long blonde extensions.
Gorgeous.
I channeled her the whole time.
Was that on your mind?
I did. Little bit? I mean, a little bit. I was thinking it was a little more like Taylor Swift-y because like the mm-hmm. like country music mm-hmm. stuff. However, I did shoot the beginning of the movie was supposed to be opening up with me performing on what would be like a Today Show, like a pop song. And we shot it, like, the director of that, who actually lives in our neighborhood, Rich yes. Newey, he used to direct music videos. So he's like, I can't wait to shoot this. It's going to be so fun. Like, shoot it like a music video. And it was, like, this really pop star, like, really Britney-esque moment. And Hallmark cut it.
How yes. dare
but
they?
But it was so Britney. It was so, like... I definitely was channeling her when I was performing
oh
that,
my
and it's gone.
Gosh. Oh my gosh! I wonder
it was
if we
too
could
risque.
We could get it. Oh my gosh! I'm gonna try to. I know we've just met, but I it's the start of a friendship. I can tell, and I'm gonna find it for you, and I'm gonna give it to you. Like,
I can probably ask Rich for it.
Oh my gosh,
we
Rich,
could screen it.
We need to screen it. I need to see this.
He was heartbroken when it did not make the cut.
Oh my gosh! Did you ever think that maybe you wanted to pursue a recording contract and be like a recording artist?
No, I mean, it's so crazy, but I really had such a one-track mind up until 26. Like, it was really just like, I want to sing and dance on Broadway forever. Like, this is it. Until I was like, oh my God, but do you have to have like pay for health insurance and like not be broke your whole life? So it wasn't until really moving out to LA where I realized that I could have another chapter. But it was never, I never really thought about like a recording thing. I just love live performing. I love live singing and dancing. And the thought of like being in a studio, we did a lot of studio work for Glee.
Was that an adjustment for you?
It was, because I was so used to having to sing everything perfectly all the time, because you're never pre-recording anything for theater. It's just what comes out that night is what people hear. Mm-hmm. So you have to be so... you know, just everything is so specific and you have to be like run songs 8 million times and have it in your muscle memory. And like, if you're feeling a little bit off, like it's such a delicate thing. But then I would like go into the studio after a couple years of doing Glee and I would be like, I could be hungover. I could still be drunk. I could be smoking a pack of cigarettes. It doesn't matter. It always came out right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the pressure felt like it was, there was none. But then when you lose that, you kind of lose the adrenaline and it's a different.
It doesn't feel as alive. There's like a little bit of like life missing from it.
Yeah. And that spark is like what I need. That's what gives me the kind of.
What do you think of Britney's voice? And you're in a safe space. Like,
yeah,
there are stans that listen, but most of the people are like, I'm a stan, but we all talk about Britney honestly. Yeah. And we know that you love her. So it's okay. You can share your thoughts.
Here's what I'm going to say. When I was an OG Britney fan, when she first came out, I was like, oh yeah, she does not have the best voice. Like it's all kind of like, you know, Melodyne and like all that, you know, fixed in a studio and blah, blah, blah. Well, I started working with this voice teacher in New York. Her name is Marianne Wells, and she actually used to coach Britney as a child, like when she was a kid.
Wow.
And she was like, Britney has an amazing voice. She's like, I don't know now, it, you know, if, but it's there. Like, so that voice that got Britney on like the Mickey Mouse Club, and she was like, she really is super, super talented. So I actually feel like, listen, she's like one of those athletes that's like, you get older and inevitably like, the wear and tear, it's just not going to be as good. But I think at one point she probably did have a really good voice.
Yeah, I think so too. Anything, oh, anything. Keep believing in the
bad. Between your heart and mine.
So this music video came out December in December of 2008.
Okay.
So it was honored then and nominated for many awards at the VMAs for 2009. Mm-hmm. So I'm from this point forward going to refer to this as 2009. Mm-hmm. Now, this video for Circus was directed by Francis Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And he also did I'm a Slave for You.
Yes.
Which is one of the most iconic, some might say. What are your top three, would you say?
Ooh, Toxic,
mm-hmm.
Slave. Ooh, I don't know.
Womanizer is great.
And then what song is it when she's the flight attendant? That's Toxic.
Yes.
What am I thinking of? I don't know.
Womanizer is great. Also, I mean, Lucky, people love, love,
I was
love,
not
love,
a
love,
lucky,
lucky
person.
I wasn't either. Now I'm starting to have a deeper appreciation for it, uh-huh. because people have really come for me that I don't like
it.
Oh,
really?
But I'm like,
lyrics are genius.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
it tells a story.
It's her story. Yes.
Dark.
Very dark. very, very dark. But Francis Lawrence, he directed I'm a Slave for You, and then he went on to direct Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Mockingjay, mm-hmm. 1 and 2. But he directed, and I believe this was his first feature, Water for Elephants, which is basically
the circus.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And Reese Witherspoon, mm-hmm. looks just like Britney in the circus video. So I feel like we wouldn't have gotten that gem of a movie. Now, some people didn't like it. It's my favorite book. I enjoyed the movie.
I loved it.
I thought it was I wish Robert Pattinson would give us more of that, you know, teen dream hunky.
I know, me too.
I want that. What's he up to?
I actually was just thinking, I don't know what he's doing.
I think he wanted to do more like really like
gritty things.
Yeah. But
don't they all?
Yeah.
Once you get really rich, you can.
Yeah. But just come on. Give us a little bit
more.
Give me more. Water for Elephants. This video was a sign of what was to come from Francis Lawrence.
And Reese never looked better.
So beautiful in that
movie. She looked very Britney-esque.
Now, you have the shade of blonde hair that I refer to as. Now, I want you to know before this comes out of my mouth, I dream of having this shade of blonde hair.
Well, I've had like 800 shades and now I have like 3-inch roots. So I'm, I go for it.
But I call it the bitchy blonde, that white.
Yes, the icy blonde.
I love it so much. I have a dream. I wimp out every time.
You could do it.
Thank you for that. Bitchy blonde. I just think it's so gorgeous. And Britney has that hair color in this video. And it's so stunning. And it's soft. Soft wave. And they kind of like brush it out so it bounces.
Yep.
And it's so gorgeous.
1920s like Hollywood.
I want Britney to bring that haircut back so badly.
Well, that would require a wig.
Well, I want her to bring that wig back. So bring back the wig.
I saw her. I'm here for it. Bring back the wig. I saw her at, when I first started Glee, like my first press junket, she was doing something with Fox, like coach, judging something. X Factor. And we were doing our rounds and I saw her and she was literally inches away from us. And we were like, oh my God, it's Britney Spears. Holy shit. Holy shit. She's in like a fierce bodycon black mini dress.
She was really into the bodycon dresses.
Yes, then. Very. And then she had long, 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 long blonde hair, like really long, but her extensions were
gnarly.
Oh my God.
Well, she doesn't like people touching her.
Right. They give them like a 30-minute limit or something.
There's
a very strict time limit with her.
And I understand. And I'm like, yes, but also self-care. I'm a little bit like, can we find her magic person?
Yeah.
Like where
that
it's
she likes being with.
Yes.
And then she doesn't feel like she's working or being
touched. Because I mean, I can understand if that's something that's really triggering to her. Like I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm just a little bit like self-care.
I know. It's upsetting because I feel like if she allowed the professionals to do their jobs, we would get that Britney back. Physically. Well,
it takes a village.
It does.
It takes a village. I wonder who's on her team who, okay, we are watching this video and I believe that she was back here, which is really interesting because I think that, so 2007, 2008, well, 2007 was bad year for Britney. That was, she shaved her head and everything that went on with her children and her custody case. And so then this is, you know, December 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very quick after such a breakdown, breakthrough. Who knows? We've all faced adversity in our lives, dark, dark times.
Yep.
And you know, when you're in it, sometimes I was thinking about this recently and just like, I was just free writing, thinking about Britney. I was thinking about how in my darkest times, like, so when I first went to, I went to see Britney in Vegas for my bachelor party. And at first, we were all going to dress up as Britney's throughout time.
Right.
And then we finally settled on that I was going to dress as original schoolgirl Britney.
Great.
And then all of my friends were going to dress as schoolboys. So they would wear ties.
Okay, cute.
And but when we were all going to dress as Britney, is my friend Jill, who is a costume designer and just a wild gal, she's the one that loves Hallmark movies.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, she wanted to be shaved head Britney with the umbrella and everything. And I was like, no.
Oh.
And I was like, that is negative and it's about light and positivity and you cannot do that.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay.
Maybe if it was a party you were going to, but not Britney's show.
To like be in front of her because that might trigger her or something. But then I was thinking, during my hardest time in my life, like where the most change ended up happening, the most growth because of that hard time, I now look back at that time in my life and it kind of feels to me a little bit like that's when I was my most powerful and almost like that's when I was a superhero.
Yeah.
And if someone, now I don't know what that would look like if someone dressed up as me at that time, it would be like someone would have a bag of popcorn. That was, I would just like run through bags of popcorn through my anxiety and like probably it would be like someone, you know, would be wearing like, I don't know, like pajamas, matching pajamas, but like no bra. And then the top buttons of the pajama top would be missing because I would wake up into panic attacks and I would think
rip them open.
And I would just like, get it off. Again, it was a dark time. I've really worked through all of this and so much growth. But I think if someone came and was dressed like that and was like, I'm your, basically like your ghost of Christmas
your
past.
Your meltdown.
Yeah, this is your meltdown coming back at you. I'm kind of like, wow, I was fucking
badass.
Rad.
I agree.
You know?
But I feel like if you had done that in the public eye, you'd feel differently. Like
if someone showed up and was like,
that time in your life was like all over the tabloids.
Yes.
There's probably a worse taste in your mouth.
Yes.
Because it's mixed with not only like the greatest growth,
mm-hmm.
but also like probably when you didn't want to leave your house because the tabloids.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to leave my house because I didn't want to face friends and family.
Yeah.
You know,
let alone like the world.
100%.
But I kind of, I understand. I'd be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she was like, I'm actually proud of that moment in my life. Like, you guys think it was tragic. It was the best thing to ever happen to me.
I have no regrets because I think everything happens for a reason. I just have to look back and say, it is what it is. Learn from my mistakes and just listen to my instincts more. Was my life out of control? A lot was at stake, and I realized that. But there was a point where I didn't know how to run my life with that many people outside my house. But I'm a strong girl, and enough is enough. I've gained that strength.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But something happened in 2011, 2012, mm-hmm. where another piece of her movement, something in that soul connection, it's like she heard the music too much and now she can't hear it anymore or something.
I think it might be more like pharmaceuticals.
I do too.
Yeah.
But I think that, and the pharmaceuticals aren't being misused. I think it's to help her live a healthy life in other ways, but she can't therefore move.
Yeah.
Oh, which has got to be
frustrating because it was like
once. Do you think she knows?
Well, here's the thing. I look at the clips. I have not seen her in Vegas yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hesitant to do it because I remember because I saw her in like her prime, And I just remember feeling like it's sad to me because she doesn't need the money, but she's doing Vegas anyway. Does she need the money? Like she doesn't even get the money. Doesn't her... Her dad has like,
well, her dad is her conservator still.
Right.
She, I mean, she does get money. Her sons.
Yeah.
You know, her, she also, and I think she does feel very connected and feels like she has a responsibility to support the people who, a lot of the people who work for her have worked
forever,
for her,
right?
Forever.
It's crazy.
Ever. All the people who went and traveled with her, did her tours, everyone behind the scenes. So I feel like, She, and I also do believe that so much of her life is controlled.
Mm-hmm.
The only moment that she is completely free is on stage when she's performing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's hers and hers alone.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I'm like, you know, if she doesn't know that she can't move the way she used to,
she's
like,
gotta know.
That's great. You know, whatever.
If right.
I would be content with that. I'm like, ignorance is bliss. Like, you don't know, fantastic.
I feel like she has to know.
I don't.
It's like a different. It's so like visceral. The whole like when she was at her prime and like dancing the way she was dancing, like that is a whole nother beast to like being on stage and like attempting. Like as a dancer, I think you always know when you're losing it. So I know someone who worked on this specific video. He's a dancer, and he said that he had worked with her on other videos before this. In her prime, like real prime. And he said that the entire shoot, someone was having to stand in front of the camera to do her choreography for her. And she was having to sort of like mirror that because she wasn't able to retain the choreography. Here's the thing, though. Number one, if you, that's a muscle that if you don't continue, it's like learning lines. If you kind of stop reading scripts and learning lines for a while, you can become so useless at like picking up on your lines. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're like on a show for a year, you can look at a script and know it in 2 seconds. So if you're out of practice, it's the same thing with like learning choreography. She probably just was a little bit rusty because she came off of that like weird time in her life.
So intense.
So such intense.
An intense time in her life.
So even if she was like even totally mentally with it, it's still not something that comes back like riding a bicycle, like picking up choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quick and it's like kind of intricate. And it's I can tell knowing like how she used to move. Especially music video, because you're choosing the best moments. Yes. So you're like, that was her best moment.
Yes.
So it makes me think that like this guy that I know was telling the truth, that it was a struggle.
Now, the choreographer of this music video was...
Didn't he pass away?
He passed away. Okay. His name is Andre Fuentes, mm-hmm. and he passed away in 2016. I think that he does. Brittany has said this that about him, that he knows her body so well, and mm-hmm. he knows how to make a woman's body look beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just love on the Brittany, like for the record, when he just was such a light,
mm-hmm.
and she needed that.
Yeah.
I know other people who have worked with her, and mm-hmm. they're like amazing people, but there was just something about Andre and his energy and
yeah.
the way he was just so positive, just so positive.
And she's like a child.
Mm-hmm. And I think like to come back to work after such an ordeal
yeah.
and to have that person be by her side,
mm-hmm.
it just must have been like so exactly what she needed. And he also did Womanizer mm-hmm. as well. But I love this video when they do like the setup, like it's her like performance, like she's on a
right.
stage and it's kind of like with the freaks and
yeah.
like the way she's dancing. I love that dance break. I think it's fantastic.
It's good. And she actually kind of crushed the dance break.
Right?
Yeah.
She's wearing those like see-through gloves
yeah.
and like the bra spangly
top.
Bra.
I know.
The bra top is so good.
I was looking at her body and I was like, damn, like they just don't make pop stars like that anymore. And I'm saying make, like they're Barbie dolls, but like she had the epitome of like strong feminine, like her body was so amazing. And I like, there's nobody else, like it's kind of like that like cheerleader, like I don't know. And like she's like not a stick figure,
and it's not about like just like all of the pop stars now have, you know, they're all gorgeous
yeah.
women, beautiful bodies. Like there's something about Britney's
yeah.
body.
She's like the dancer body, like strong. And like the other thing is the pop stars now, dancing is not what they're focusing on. Like Ariana Grande, like she'll dance on her shows and stuff, but like it's not dance.
No,
she's not a dancer.
No.
And so her body's like not strong. It's not like a beautiful thing to watch, like where Britney has like a beautiful body to watch move. And there, it's like Madonna,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of like it. And Paula Abdul.
Paula,
but like those OG dancer girls.
Yes.
You know? Where like, it's not like, I mean, watching Katy Perry dance is like my worst nightmare. Like if I go to hell, I have to watch Katy Perry dance at some award show in flats. Like that is.
Or even with Taylor Swift.
Or Taylor Swift.
Her shows, she to me looks like.
Oh my God.
Now I know there could be different definitions of cheerleaders, but to me, she is a cheerleader, but yeah. a different kind where it's just like,
yeah,
let's go. Like it's just.
It's
these,
like Cool Mom.
It is
she
Cool Mom.
She reminds me of Cool Mom.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, Taylor, you're such a phenomenal songwriter and you're an amazing performer,
yeah.
but not like just don't dance. Don't wear a leotard and high
don't
boots.
Wear a
don't
leotard.
Do it. Don't do
it's
it.
It's upsetting. It's like.
And Beyonce's her own thing. Like Beyonce is not.
Totally.
I'm always. It's like Beyonce's a different category.
Totally. And actually seeing Beyonce live was the first time that I was like, okay, I'll let her have it. She's definitely like. A triple threat, even though
all
she wasn't in ballet class, or maybe she was. Like, Britney grew up, like, in ballet classes. Like,
yes.
she's that, like, Beyonce, like, dances her ass off, and she's great. But again, it's not the same. It's not like Britney.
Oh, I love that you're saying
like
that.
Britney has technique. She can kick her face. I don't think Beyonce can kick her face. I don't think she ever could.
Ooh,
like it's like that competition dancer.
What I've gotten from today is it's really all about being able to kick your face.
Kick your face split.
We need the wig back. Kick your face. Mm-hmm. Yes, splits. Mm-hmm. Splits were really big for Britney.
Britney she used to do a lot.
I watched her dance breaks, her old dance breaks all the time. She used to like jump down in the
cooter
middle.
Slam.
Yeah. No,
that's what we called it in dance.
She would.
A cooter slam.
She would do a cooter slam and then come back up.
Yep.
And then into another dance.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy.
Crazy. She was
so
good.
Cooter slamming.
It's a cooter slam.
Oh man. Did she ever. Now I like this music video. I think it's amazing. I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think there's something that's very. I like that soft lighting. It's very angelic. I think it's like Britney being a little bit reborn, but also embracing this wild side of her that's been like, you know, cracked open. I super connect to this video. Now, at the same time, the same year, she also did Womanizer, which is a phenomenal music video.
Amazing.
And a lot of people prefer Womanizer over Circus. Now, interesting, we get to the VMAs and Circus is nominated for Best Cinematography, Best Editing, Best Choreography, Best Direction, Best Art Direction. Womanizer, so Circus goes home empty-handed, mm-hmm. I think, right? Let's see.
I thought Circus won for choreography.
It might have won for that. Hold on, I'm going to look it this up and make sure. But Womanizer ends up winning Best Pop Video. VMAs was the year of Beyonce Single Ladies.
Whoa.
Amazing music video.
Yes.
A classic.
Like.
Iconic. Mm-hmm. And it was the year of Kanye versus Taylor, I'ma Let You Finish.
That was 2009?
That was 2009.
Holy crap.
And
I'ma Let You Finish.
That was the birth of I'ma Let You Finish. Now, what is so interesting is that Beyonce also went against Britney.
Right.
In the category in which Britney won. Was Best Pop Video. So here were the contenders. It was Britney Spears' Womanizer, Beyonce's Single Ladies, Cobra Starship featuring Leighton Meester, Good Girls Go Bad.
Oh my God.
Lady Gaga Poker Face.
Oh.
And which I watched. It's not a good video.
No, it's not.
It's not a good
video.
It's
not her best.
And I don't even know who this is. Wisin and Yandel? I don't know what. Okay. But.
Good Britney's, for them.
Good for them. Yeah. They had a good year in 2009.
This is on their bio for sure.
And Britney Spears won. Now, Kanye West did not interrupt Britney. And I feel like crazy understands crazy.
Yeah.
And I say crazy with a lot of respect.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a ton of it inside of me.
Yeah.
I have
Kanye was like, I'm not going to touch that.
Nope. And I also feel like he also was like, and Womanizer. Was a
great
good video. And now when
what did Taylor Swift win against Beyonce when he did that? What was that category?
Okay.
Best song?
It was, hold on, I'm finding it. Oh, so, but best choreography, Beyonce Single Ladies won, which makes sense. I will let
Incredible.
Her finish on that one.
Yes. Remember when everybody was doing that? Dance all the time.
So it's a total,
it's iconic.
Wait, what did she win? Let's see. Oh, best female video.
Oh,
so it was Taylor Swift. And Kanye was right. You Belong With Me is not a better music video than Single Lady.
You know what, Kanye, in hindsight,
you were right.
You were right.
Now, it's all about
delivery.
Which
also kind of into.
So
Taylor Swift is very polarizing for me.
Oh, I go back and forth like all the time. Like, I love her. I hate her.
Me too.
I hate her. I like her.
Me too. I don't know what to do.
Why? What do you think that is?
Here's what it is. She was the beginning of a different generation of pop star. Like, first of all, she comes from a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
She was groomed, like, to become Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think parents were really doing that with their kids. Like, Britney doesn't come from money.
No.
She just loved to sing and dance. Like, it was a very, like, genuine path. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, very authentic.
She now, wasn't a machine.
I think Taylor is a really talented songwriter.
So talented with songwriting. But then again, it's like, take Taylor Swift and maybe don't give her all those. I'm like, this is like my soapbox I get on all the time in Hollywood. But like, take away her, like, I guess,
beauty,
support from her family.
Mm-hmm.
Like she and Ariana Grande both come from very wealthy families.
Yes.
That they, from the time they were like young and showed any interest in music, like they were grown, like they became their own big beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's, to me, is that the American dream? Like buying your daughter into being pop star royalty?
Yes.
I'm not taking away from their talent. Like, no. Ariana Grande, her voice is crazy good. She's super talented. But like, would I be more excited if she had just been plucked from obscurity, like from the Mickey Mouse Club? Yeah, I would be more of an Ariana Grande fan.
What's interesting, though, is that if you come from a lot of money and this happens to you, it's not as...
People discount it.
Well, it's, I was going to say,
like,
it's
what
not,
I'm doing right now.
No. I'm talking about as the individual. If you come from a lot of, you come from a lot of money, this won't be such a shock to your system because you already feel entitled.
Yeah. Totally.
So you're just like, yeah, get me my water. Get me my, like,
yeah.
I need my things. Like, whereas I watched another, I watched this video on YouTube and it was all the moments. And it went in a timeline from the beginning of Britney's career until like maybe 2013. But it was every time she was asked about, what's it like to be famous? Like, mm-hmm. What's it like? Or do you, and in the early years, it was like, can you still go out? And she was like, well, I can like go to the mall, but like now some people are starting to notice me, but it's so cool.
Yeah.
And then it like cuts to after the break and to her Matt Lauer interview when she's pregnant with, I think, her second child, and she's like, they just need to leave me alone. I'm a human being, and her hormones, and she's just like a mess. And you're like, we did this, but there's something like, because it was such a shock to her because she came from nothing.
And maybe that's why Taylor and Ariana are so well balanced, because their whole lives they've sort of been stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all been, relatively speaking, I think they've always been a star.
Becca, Taylor was bullied. Okay,
I'm so sure
she was bullied.
I mean, can't we all say we were bullied? You can't stand on that anymore.
Yeah,
like,
you really can't. But I think, and also what drives me crazy about Taylor, and I will say this, is that like, Reputation, there are some songs I like and I wanted to like it so much more as a whole. But then I'm like listening, I'm like, oh my God, every song, you're so annoying. You make yourself have to be a victim, or you're talking about overcoming something that wasn't even a big deal. You made it a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, Britney has no desire to get involved in nonsense.
She kind of didn't, like, you're right. And Britney didn't really use what was going on in her social life or personal life. She didn't like make a spectacle of it to make her art more, get her art more attention. You know what I mean? Like, that was very separate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's why I think people loved her so much, because they're looking at all these songs like Lucky and being like, is it a secret message? Is this how she feels? Because she didn't like do that whole,
I think, except with the exception of Every Time, but then it worked so well because it was just felt like that. It was from her guts.
Yeah. And now it's like, with every catfight Taylor Swift has, she writes a song about it, and it's like, was the catfight even that bad to begin with, or is it now just fuel to like sell your records and get everybody like on its side? Like,
once Calvin Harris said publicly, like, this is her team, they're so manipulative, whatever the language was, where he was like, this is so calculated, this is just another move on their part to like create it, I was like,
a bigger star.
Whoa.
It's like the Kardashian like machine, it's similar. Where mm-hmm. everything so much is more respect
for that machine.
I know, right?
That machine works. That machine.
But it's so complicated, and there's so many secrets, and it's so like every single thing is calculated. I think that's the same thing with Taylor Swift. I think that like every step. So it's like you can't even hate Taylor Swift because it's not even her anymore. It's just she's just doing what she's told to do.
Tell you what. I wouldn't want to have her as a girlfriend.
Nope.
Because
I know many people who have been.
And aren't any longer.
And aren't anymore. She really? Cycles. She has a, I mean, I guess in your 20s, though, you kind of do that. So it's not like I'm going to fault her. She's a normal girl. But she does go through friends, like, from what I've gathered. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like she changes her friends like she changes her favorite pair of jeans.
Something that I've gotten really into mm-hmm. is reading old People magazine articles.
Ooh.
Okay, start with this one.
Can't
if you're
wait.
Interested.
I am.
Is the breakup between Julia Roberts and Kiefer Sutherland. Wow. They called off their wedding and...
I don't even remember them being engaged.
Okay, so this was... She was in her 20s.
Wow.
Okay. She was like 20... She was really, really young.
Yeah.
And the wedding was happening.
Yeah.
And also really funny things. The wedding was going to take place at Fox, I think, like on a studio lot. And they were like taking, and they were like, you know, making a room
right.
into the, like their, you know, their imagination and like.
Incredible.
Like a movie set. And the article though, because this was before phones, like before smartphones. God. They're pages long and someone spent a ton of time researching, following up, like calling people. And there's actual language, like words of substance yeah. in the article. And it will go down to like she was seen having lunch at, you know, the Ivy and she was eating a chopped salad with grilled shrimp on top.
No.
And she was wearing, you know, a long denim shirt. With her hair pulled back in a scrunchie.
I love that.
And you're trying to, you know, picture it because no one got the photo and then it didn't just like go out right away.
That's incredible.
They're amazing. Old People magazine articles. Like if you find a topic that you're like, oh, whatever happened to da-da-da.
Look
and
at
then
them.
You, and then go and search. They are the best. They are so entertaining.
That's so funny because I was listening to Oprah's podcast and she was interviewing Julia Roberts recently. And she was sort of talking about that era, but more so with when she started, I think when she started her relationship with Danny Motor and how for the first couple of years, like every tabloid would always talk about them breaking up. And like, and Oprah was asking Julia about it. Like, was that so hard? Like to have all the tabloids. And I'm thinking to myself, like, do people care anymore? Because the celebrities now, they don't care because there's so many ways to get their story out that People magazine is like, and the tabloids are not like the Bible. So for Julia Roberts, that was devastating. Yeah. She didn't have Instagram to go on to post a cute selfie with her and Danny Motor to prove they're doing okay.
Yes. I feel like there's maybe 2 to 4 people who are hounded and who yeah. people care to yeah. find out. What's happening.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even name them. I bet Britney Spears is one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure she's like a definite like hot topic. Because she doesn't, well, aside from her like weird Instagram videos, like you don't really know what she's up to.
My favorite thing in the entire.
I love.
That's what she's up to.
That's what she's doing.
What she is up to.
I mean, what is that? It's so good.
She's a child. There, I also say this all the time that I think that if you become like huge, like wildly successful, whatever age that happened,
it's when you stop,
you stay there.
I agree.
A part of you stays there
completely.
I have like, I know one person where I'm like, that is not the case, but maybe there's like a part of him that's still that age. But I feel like, I don't know.
Especially yeah. if those people like never bottom out, like if they stay, like even Britney had like her meltdowns, but she's always been famous. Like there's never been a time in her life since peaking at her fame when she was like, what, 15? How old was she?
Yeah. 14. 14, 15.
There's never been a time where people stopped caring about Britney. So it's like, you're never going to mature past that. She never got an opportunity to go off on her own and like be alone and figure out who she was. Whereas like some of these other people who might have matured past that like peaked age is because people stopped caring about them. Mm-hmm. Like the boy banders, you know, like I'm sure Justin is still eternally 14, where the rest of them are probably matured to their full. Yeah.
I can't stand Justin.
I can't stand.
You can't stand him?
Yes.
So is everybody speculating about what's going on? Is she having a nervous breakdown? Is she?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that what they're speculating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, Becca, new friend.
New friends. Neighbor. Neighbors.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having
and
me.
And talking about circus.
I mean, is there anything better?
No.
Thank you.
Campfire.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.